Oh, that one. Oh, no, oh, that makes it very easy for you. One. I want you to learn that. So, members and officials here, the presenters, we've got this portfolio committee. I always want to say when I open, when we get involved, get into this, in these presentations, that we come together as politicians, as legislators, as officials, and providers, the entities, to agree and disagree, and together fold our sleeves and dirty our hands and try and make everything better. Whatever industry is real, Suzanne, it must be a better industry at the end of it and make better the lives of our people in the country. I am not going to go into a question of introduction because we are late, it's afternoon. We'll get straight into the presentation as we move. But I will ask people when they speak, to introduce themselves. And before I give everybody, I want to congratulate all member OTA Nibonile Guta Tolis Kundanga Pempumala. We are happy, congratulate you. U deputy Chenga Lupetis in Dambunyana some sugar. Thank you. You may start.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Honorable members, I am Joe Odhiambo, CEO of Agrima South Africa. I bring you greetings from the Chairperson of Agrima South Africa, who apologized, Mr. Pepe Silinga, who could not be with us today. Honorable Chairperson, Honorable members, this is not a repeat presentation, but a refocus on key issues to provide clarity after the presentation on the 1st of July. So in order to commence, I will first of all allow Mr. Pumlani to just cover the financial aspects, which are one of the key issues that was raised.
The finance, yes.
Thank you, Joe. Honorable Chairperson, members and colleagues, I'm Pumlani Mieni, the CFO for Agrima SA. I'll be presenting the financial results for Agrima, which you can see on the slide there. What we have is the financial performance of Agrima for this past financial year, which ended on the 31st of March 2009. And the results are mainly presented to highlight the mandate that Agrima has to see how the financial performance of Agrima actually supports the mandate that Agrima has in terms of ensuring that we provide a certification for non-standard materials. If you look at the previous financial year, the salary cost for the previous financial year was 4.7 million, and then the technical assessment, we're talking about the fees that are used in terms of testing the material, all the costs that are associated with that. The amount that was incurred was 1.5 million. And Agrima also has certain equipment that it uses to test the materials and to conduct its business. And also, amongst other things, they also have things like computers. So all of that, the depreciation came to 222,000 rands. And there's also support services cost, what we call shared services cost. Shared services cost or shared services functions are such functions as finance, human resources, administration, rental of buildings, and general overheads of Agrima. Those came to just over 1 million rand. So in total, the total cost base of Agrima for the past financial year was sitting at 7.4 million rand. And also we looking at the coming year in terms of budgeting, to say in terms of ensuring that Agrima is able to deliver on its mandate, this is the budget that has been prepared and has been adopted by Agrima Board, to say that this is the budget that is going to enable Agrima as an entity to deliver on its mandate in the coming financial year. The third column, from your, if you're sitting on your left-hand side, that's the 2009-2010 budget. We're looking at an average increase of about 7.9% compared to the previous financial year, where we're looking at things like your salary cost, your running cost, which are your testing, and your depreciation, etc. That's the increase that we're actually forecasting in terms of budgeting for the next financial year, for the current financial year, which is ending on the 31st of March next year. I will hand over to the CEO to continue the presentation.
The mandate of Agrima South Africa, as I mentioned previously, was to carry out technical assessments of innovative, non-standardized construction products and systems. Now, this is quite an onerous task. As you're aware, Agrima was established 40 years ago on the 3rd of July 1969 by the then Director General of the Department of Public Works. At the establishment, they got together contractors, professionals, material suppliers, builders, educators, manufacturers, as well as standard development bodies, and they agreed to set up an agency that tests non-standardized construction products. Now, this was as a result of failure of imported products. And to date, the mandate of Agrima covers only non-standardized construction products. We are mindful of the challenges that are faced with certain products which actually fall under the standardized products. But we, as an agency of government, are willing to engage with these agencies to try and address this problem. We also are aware of the challenges that certain products are being used on certain government projects. And we have made this plea to government officials to only use approved products, either SABS-approved or Agrima-approved products, and not substandard products. We've raised the issue of failures of together with the Bureau of Standards, who are actually, we do have a member on our board from the South African Bureau of Standards. And we've also engaged with the SALGA, the South African Local Governments Association. We've also engaged the National Home Builders Registration Council, as well as the Department of Human Settlements, in trying to address this particular issue regarding substandard materials being used on projects. And we are hopeful that with time, this particular problem will be a thing of the past. In terms of, I'll just indicate this slide because there was a question that arose last time. I'll repeat this slide regarding the mandate of the various institutions. The CSR or research institutions deal with developing technology or developing new ideas. Once ideas are developed, then we, as Agrima, carry out the testing to see whether that particular product is fit for purpose or not. If the product is fit for purpose, then we award a certificate. If there are several suppliers of the same product, then the industry gets together and develops a standard, and it becomes a national standard and a South African Bureau standard. So there are three distinct categories, and each one has its own role, which is different from the others. So our mandate only allows us to look at products which do not have an SABS or a SANS standard. Once it has a standard, then it is out of our mandate. It becomes a mandate of the Bureau of Standards. As I mentioned previously, the Bureau of Standards sit only within our board and work closely with them. Corrugated iron sheets fall under standardized products, and we are willing to engage with the Bureau of Standards to identify any shortcomings and try and address issues related to that. In terms of products which we have certificated, which have gone on to become standardized products, I mentioned previously, items such as copper piping. Now, these are improvements of a previous material. So if somebody has an idea which is there's no standard, it's an improvement, then they come to us to test it to see whether the thing works. And if it works, then we give them a certificate. So we deal with improvements in terms of construction materials and products by trying to improve construction within South Africa. In terms of our scope of evaluation, we deal with issues of health and safety, and we look at things like strength of the materials, performance in relation to fire, thermal and energy performance, condensation, etc., etc. Now, in terms of what are the key benefits of Agrima in terms of South Africa, the advantages and benefits, I thought the best way to do it was to link it with government's 10 priorities highlighted in the medium-term strategic framework by the President, the Honorable President of the Republic of South Africa, Jacob Zuma, on the 3rd of June when he delivered his first State of the Nation address as a President of the Republic of South Africa. The first point was that to speed up economic growth and transformation and transform the economy to create decent work and sustainable livelihoods. Now, we as Agrima link up to this particular key priority of government by providing fitness for purpose of products. In other words, the products that we approve must be quality products, and ensuring and minimizing the risk and thereby financial waste but only approving products which are safe to the health of the people of the Republic. Now, this is a key aspect. Without the quality and without us ensuring that the products can work, then we would not be doing justice to providing for speeding up economic growth. We are also stipulated in the National Building Regulations, which is an Act of Parliament. And since we are included in the National Building Regulations as the recognized institution for carrying out testing of non-standardized construction products, we are therefore included in the laws of the Republic of South Africa. And without assurance, people would not be able to make a judgment call with regards to unconventional construction materials. Agrima South Africa certification is also written into many laws currently in place in South Africa. I'll mention just a few of them. The National Home Builders Registration Council, the NHBRC Act, the Municipalities Act, the Banking Act is also includes this. And as I mentioned previously, the National Building Regulations, as well as the South African National Standards. So we are recognized as an entity that promotes economic growth and transforming and contributing towards transforming the economy of the Republic. The second was to my second program of action by the Honorable President was in the State of the Nation address was to a massive program to build economic and social infrastructure. Now, our Agrima evaluations, are a means of enabling the introduction of improved innovative solutions, non-standardizing solutions. Now, these we do by reducing the risks associated with these alternatives, and we cover all aspects in the construction industry, building and civil infrastructure. The third point was develop a comprehensive develop and implement a comprehensive rural development strategy. Now, South Africa has a good proportion of its land covered under rural areas, and we contribute towards this rural developing in, by the following way. We have the second point at the bottom there mentions road stabilizing products and dust palliatives, which are beneficial for use in maintaining rural access roads. I just want to expand on this particular point a bit. Now, putting up a tar road is a very expensive exercise. If they're low volume roads where there are only few vehicles passing, if you provide a low cost solution which removes the dust and provides a surface which is can be all weather, it can be ridden on during the rainy season, during the dry season, it can be a cheap and effective solution. And as Agrima, we have the potential to approve certain products, and we have a few products which can be beneficial for use in maintaining rural access roads. That's just one example. Water tanks, we have solutions which can be used for such. Farm sheds, where the outlying areas where you need to build a unit in a far outlying area where there are no conventional materials close by. We have alternative materials which can be suitable and can be used to address those particular issues. Broiler insulation, you're aware that young chicks, chickens, require very effective thermal control. And we have solutions or products which can be used effectively in building these broiler units for construction. So AGMA is available and able to evaluate non-standard, innovative agricultural buildings and materials and products to address this particular rural development strategy. It's a particular initiative that we can offer African solutions for African challenges. In terms of skills-based, the fourth point that was the fourth key area that was mentioned in the State of the Nation address was strengthen the skills and human resource base. Now, as AGRIMA, we contribute towards strengthening skills and resource base within the agency. But outside the agency, we also assist smaller, especially the ones which do not have sufficient capacity, to make informed decisions as regards to the use of non-standard products and systems. You can imagine if somebody is in a rural area and is faced with a supplier of a product of which he cannot make a judgment call, they can come to us and we can assist those particular municipalities, mostly in the smaller municipalities, but also in the larger metros, to make informed decisions on the use of non-standard products and systems. This, honorable members, is a very key aspect, because if they were not able to make use of our judgment or our experience and our knowledge, they may make mistakes which may have large catastrophic detrimental effects. It's a very important aspect. It prevents the risk associated with the use of non-standardized products. And our certificate applicants are audited to ensure that they have in place adequately trained personnel to effectively and consistently manufacture and erect their building systems. By having the trained personnel, they're uplifting the skills and therefore strengthening the skills and human resource base in line with the State of the Nation address. So we are supporting that particular aspect. We also improve the health and profile of all South Africans. All our assessments, all our testing deals with the aspects of health and safety. In terms of the Constitution, Section 24.1 and Section 39, it gives the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa gives everybody a right to health and safety. And we, by all our assessment criteria, cover this aspect that deals mainly on safety and health issues. Therefore, we align ourselves both with the Constitution and with what was mentioned in the State of the Nation address. Listed under there are the aspects which we look at, which, as I mentioned previously, structural strength and stability, performance in fire. Now, we are all aware of the devastating fires which kill hundreds of our citizens in fires annually. All our products which are approved, we look at their fire performance. the product must be able to have a fire rating of at least 60 minutes. That means that they must be able to withstand fires without losing the structural stability for 60 minutes for internal partitions and 30 minutes for external partitions. That means that should there be a fire, that structure must pass that fire performance criteria. If it does not pass, we do not award a certificate. Very important. Because if there's a fire, one must be able to get out safely. So we take fire performance very critically, and we do proper fire tests in accordance with international accepted standards. Thermal performance, I'll mention this later in greater detail, but you're aware that certain areas have very low temperatures during winter, and we ensure that all our products that we test must meet a minimum thermal performance requirement in terms of both thermal resistance and thermal transmission. Water penetration, damp, internal damp conditions contribute towards unhealthy living conditions internally and encourage mold growth and its associated illnesses. All our products are attested for water penetration and condensation performance. The sixth point was intensifying the fight against crime and corruption. And Agrima makes a difference in the fight by evaluating non-standardized products and innovative systems. For example, we look at security doors, which can reduce the risk of people breaking in, as well as windows, as well as fencing material to stop intruders from being able to break into the property. So we contribute towards that particular initiative in that particular manner. The seventh point mentioned in the State of the Nation address was that building cohesive, caring, and sustainable communities. Now, proper housing and improved infrastructure will go a long way in providing caring and sustainable communities. Now, we believe that there's a place for non-standard or improved methods of construction in helping to address this particular need for our communities. And we believe that this alternative system and products can contribute towards service delivery. And we are the only center that offers this particular service on the African continent and believe that our standards compare favorably with organizations in the rest of the world. The eighth point was working with Africa and the rest of the world to pursue African advancement and enhanced international cooperation. Now, Agrima certificate is presently used in many African countries to facilitate the acceptance of innovative building technologies. Now, we are currently a member of the World Federation of Technical Assessment Organizations, and we are well placed to benefit from already endowed international cooperation. We offer the exchange of information, and there's a lot of scope for engagement and other benefits. The ninth point was to ensure sustainable resource management and use. And we are currently investigating the use of assessing sustainability and green issues. This is a key aspect. You are all aware of the green. Yeah. We are all aware of the Green Buildings Initiative and the aspects and the activities that they are undertaking to bring into legislation minimum sustainability issues in construction. Now, we as Agrima are an independent agency with the competence and the capability to assess this green or sustainability or energy performance once it becomes law or it's passed as law. And I think that's a key initiative because energy is a key global concern, and Agrima is well placed to play that particular role once the legislation is passed. We will be able to test, we'll be able to set the standards, and we'll be able to advise on ways and means of improving green issues, which cover issues such as sustainability, energy performance, energy savings, et cetera, et cetera. And the tenth point on the 10 key points was building a development state And we do participate in this particular intervention, but we need certain aspects to enable us to achieve this particular initiative. As you're all aware, currently there's a process of creating AGRIMA as a legal entity, and once we become a state legal entity, we will be able to do much more in that particular initiative. And legislation will ensure that non-standard and innovative products and systems are a law. Currently we're operating under mandate, and once it's legislated as a state public entity, it will become law and will give us more authority or more powers per se. Now, other benefits of AGRIMA certification include: we support entrepreneurial ambition, because once somebody has our certificate, then it is allowed to tender on projects, etc., etc. Unlike if it's a non-known product. We also lead to improvements of existing products. Most of our products are improvements on existing products or improvements in performance. And we capitalize on the existence of unique testing equipment available. And we develop criteria and equipment and new ways of testing as new products come. If somebody gives us something new, we find out a way of counter-checking that particular product to see whether it performs as stipulated or not. Other benefits of the certificate include, if somebody has an AGRIMA certificate, he may export that particular product on the strength of the AGRIMA South Africa certificate to other countries outside South Africa. Our certificates are recognized in most countries in the world. The second point there is that AGRIMA South Africa certification emphasizes socio-economic development aspects. So things, we work in line with government requirements, and we provide reassurance of fitness for purpose. And the last point, which is a very, very important point, is our assessment is an authoritative assessment of system performance. In other words, it's an authority. It provides assurance that the product does work. It provides fitness for purpose. So in short, I just wanted to refocus on those particular items to provide clarity. I'll just show you one or two products which we have certificated. Imison, which is a polystyrene-based building system. It can be built two stories. It's very fast to build. They build a unit in a day or two. And the way it's done is that the polystyrene is put first and then the plastering is put later on. And the benefits, some of the benefits, are, if I can just mention a couple, it's 10 to 15% cheaper than comparable regular construction. As I mentioned, it's a very, very fast construction. It can be built in a day or two. It provides higher specification. It's a higher quality finish than traditional houses. In terms of thermal performance, it's 6 degrees warmer in winter. In other words, if it's 10 degrees outside, it should be about 16 degrees inside the building, and 2 degrees cooler in summer. So when it's very hot outside in summer, inside the unit is cooler. So you don't need air conditioning or heating. Air conditioning in summer or heating in winter. They're 67% more energy efficient. They are actually stronger than conventional materials. They're stronger. And the fiber coat, which is the plaster applied onto the wall, hardens to a compressive strength of 20 MPa, which is harder than concrete. It's so strong. And it's a green building technology. In other words, it supports the Green Buildings Initiative. And it uses 95% local unskilled labor, including women. And it uses the local SMMEs for a variety of services. So these are just some of the examples of one particular of our products. There are several we have. And that's just another building system. Robert, quite similar to the previous one. Uses also polystyrene and pressed metal, expanded metal panels. Very, very strong system. Very, very robust. And also has the same benefits as I mentioned previously. Skips is another one, similar one. And they're all familiar with the Rhino Wall. This is the one that most hotels are partitioned with. And that particular system is an Agrima system, that internal partition that you find in most office blocks or hotels. It's just a drywall panel system, as you can see on the left-hand side there. The two panels with a space in the middle. It's very steady. You can put what soundproofing in the middle if you wish, and provides an excellent finish, as you can see on the right-hand side. So the Rhino Wall is just one of our building systems that we have approved and now is used as a standardized product. And lastly, but not least, the Goldflex system. This one has been used extensively for a long period of time. It's a precast concrete tilt-up system. In other words, the panels are built onto the ground and lifted into position using a crane. It's also extremely fast and has similar benefits to Imison, which I mentioned previously. Currently, it has been used, as you can see, the finished building is an excellent building system, and it can be used as for high-rise building systems up to 7 stories high. It's been used successfully for 858 units, single-story buildings in Kalfontein, extension 22 in Tembisa, Kalfontein, north of Johannesburg in Tembisa, close to Ivory Park. And phase two will involve the construction of 500 double-story buildings, total cost of 90 million. So these are actual examples of some of the products, or some of the benefits of our building system. Now, some of the way it is, the Kalfontein project was built in an existing built-up area, so they had a manufacturing yard on the bottom left, which is shown in the middle, and they manufactured the panels on the ground and lifted them with a crane, erected them on site. And it can be used for a wide range of building types, including commercial services, hospitals, offices, dormitories, hostels, domestic residence, dwelling houses, flats. So it's very versatile. Now, it's a very, very strong system. It's earthquake, it's hurricane resistant. It's extremely strong and extremely durable, with very, very low maintenance, with a 10 to 15 year recoating cycle. And it's completely termite and vermin proof because the concrete fits 100% to one another. So it's a very good system, very excellent. Now, they set up the factory, the plant in the market area. In other words, where the building is, where they set up the manufacturing plant. And they use local suppliers and local labor. They use the local subcontractors for electrical, plumbing, roofing, glazing, etc., etc. And all these services are put on the panel on the ground so that when it's lifted into position, it's finished. You lift it, you put the doors and windows and everything on the ground, put it on the crane, lift it into position, and the house is finished. They can build. They were producing 7 units a day when they were in peak production. So very, very excellent building system. Just the context for purposes of people who may want to contact them. Honorable members, this particular system also offers training. They go to the local community, they get the people from there, they offer them classroom training sessions. Then they take them to the site where they offer them practical skills. And then you can see the crane lifting the sections, and then you can see the finished building on the last bottom right-hand side. So it's a very practical, affordable house construction system. As I mentioned, after the classroom, then they go out for the practical, and then they go to the final installation on site. You can see there they are doing the final touches on the buildings. Now, I have listed as well for your information the Agrima certificated building system for your information. Thank you very much for your attention.
Okay. Thank you very much. Remember, we had a presentation here from Mr. Mieni and
But what I'm going to do now, what we're going to do now, we're going to pray for 5 minutes exactly, just to pick up tea, and then we'll come back and
like a Monday.
Yes, that is.
Is he going to get one that he wants?
Was acting. No, but you know, I'm like confused. But 2 years old. This company is rich.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Masango. Chairperson, it's good. Yes, last time we asked the very same question, and I'm going to ask the very same question. That I don't understand that salaries exceed everything in this budget. I mean, their operation is something like, if I look at it, for 2008-2009, their real operation is 1.5. But their salary is 4.5, which is far exceeding what they are actually doing. And I'm still concerned that what they are doing is less than what they are being paid. Because, no, I'm just saying maybe too many staff there. I'm not sure. I just want to get the clarity whether it is too many staff or is it maybe their salary is a little bit too high. Because this, if you look at their total also is 7.4. Which means more than 50% of the salary, of the money, goes for salary.
Honourable members, honourable chairperson, the issue of salaries included in the manpower cost would be the salaries. ACRIMA has in total, I think about 12, if I'm not between. Yeah, it has about 12 people on its payroll, but there are also other costs that are included in your salaries or in the manpower cost. That is the shared services cost, because the ACRIMA operates within the ambit of the CSIR, and you have people like your finance, human resources, which are also included as part of the salaries, which are part of the shared services function, which would also be going into the salaries cost. So if you strip that out, then it would mean that your actual salaries that are being paid to people that are actually dedicated to ACRIMA SA would be less than that. However, you must also remember that ACRIMA is also, in terms of the human capital that ACRIMA has, most of the work is done by people that are employed by ACRIMA, meaning that the resources that are being used is actually the employees that are being employed to perform functions for ACRIMA. So that is the reason why you find that the salary or the manpower cost that you have there, it looks like it's 50% of the total cost of ACRIMA, because there are also other costs, which are your shared services functions that are included in salaries.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just a follow-up.
Thank you, Chairperson. I have noted in your in this presentation page 7 of that presentation,
You have just at the bottom, below your budget, you have budget notes. And a note is written there that manpower cost is only direct salaries and salary-related expenses, e.g. UIF, pension contribution, medical aid, leave, gratuity, etc. So the question is the shared services that you are referring to, do they fall under any of the categories there?
Honorable member, the shared services cost is included in the, because the costs that are being recovered for shared, in other words, the costs that are being incurred for people that are performing the function of finance, because AGRIMA, you will remember, doesn't have a dedicated finance person. The finance person who provides a finance function to AGRIMA is actually somebody who is employed by the CSIR, but they form part of that shared services function. Similarly, if you look at human resources, that person also is also part of the shared services of the CSIR, which is provided to AGRIMA. So those costs are also included as part of the salary expense or the manpower cost. That's why it's called manpower cost, because it's all the cost that is associated with providing that service and also ensuring, obviously, at the end of the day, that AGRIMA is able to deliver on its mandate.
I just want to do a follow-up. Maybe they should just be clear and say they are getting people outside, which you call consultants. But if he is talking about finance people, we got a CFO sitting here. I don't understand why they have a finance guy outside AGRIMA, whereas they say they have a CFO. I'm still, again, confused a little bit. Maybe they should explain. Can I clarify here? As a CFO of AGRIMA, I am actually employed by the CSIR, and I perform the function of Chief Financial Officer for AGRIMA, but my cost is being carried by the CSIR. Then that cost is being recovered by the CSIR from AGRIMA. So as a CFO of AGRIMA, I am actually not a dedicated resource of AGRIMA, because AGRIMA operates within the ambit of the CSIR. So those are the costs that the CSIR recovers from the CSIR recovers from AGRIMA SA.
Madam Chair, I just want to find out whether he's working on consultation basis for AGRIMA, seconded from CSIR. Thank you.
Honorable member, it's not consultation basis, because being part of the CSIR, you must remember that. I think maybe the discussion, obviously, it's now moving more towards the relationship between AGRIMA SA and the CSIR. Because at the moment, AGRIMA is operating within CSIR, which means that there are, so for instance, one of the things that the CSIR charges AGRIMA is rental for buildings that are housed, that AGRIMA is actually using. So I wouldn't call it a consultancy agreement or a consultancy arrangement, but it's more that those services are services that the AGRIMA as an entity is actually provided by the CSIR to ensure that, because they don't have a dedicated resource who is actually providing that service to AGRIMA, who's what I can call full-time person who is actually providing that service to AGRIMA.
Thank you, Chairperson. The clarity also brings a lot of confusion to us. Maybe the CFO must be able to assist in this regard, because the budget that is allocated here, we're expecting it to service ACRIMA SA staff. When there's an assistant that is coming from CSIR, it must be sort of having a MOU that will be able to clarify, to say on what basis should they loan you a human resource person, so that we are able to, because the view that I'm also getting here, to say the real allocation, you are allocated from the CSIR, but operating at the ACRIMA SA, and most of your costs, they are carried by ACRIMA SA. It also must also be clarified whether you're not getting double salary. Myself, I've got one salary. I resigned from my work. I was forced to get one salary. So we must be able to get carried, so that, because we must also get clarity that how much percentage is that is allocated for outsourcing some of the services. Because if you as a CFO, you've been, the CFO responsibility has been outsourced, there must be that clarity. If you are allocated to say from the CSIR, you are sort of a loan, but you're being paid by ACRIMA. You know, those are clarifications that maybe we must be able to get, so that we don't find ourselves, you know, carrying some of the other costs that are unnecessary, or the ACRIMA carrying other costs that are not maybe supposed to be reliable from them. I don't know if I'm clear.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is perhaps directed to the CEO, which says that perhaps if he may help this house by clarifying the staff composition or organogram of the agreement South Africa, I think that will clarify this confusion. Thanks.
Thanks, Chair. I think it's also a follow-up. I want to agree with Member Khadeb that the explanation creates more confusion than clarity.
Yes,
it also raises the issues of governance with ACRIMA as a whole. And I'll also pose my question to the CEO, whether the board exists and does it meet, and how does it relate to them as the manager, or is ACRIMA having a separate board, or the board of CSI also overlooks the issues of policy? Because if you look at your financial statements here, the core business, we have, I mean, today the CFO went through with us for about 45 minutes, the core business of ACRIMA, technical assessment, and so forth and so forth. But if you look at financial statements, say human capital, 4.5 million, and technical assessment, 1.5, I think that's what creates the problem here. To say why your core business gets, I mean, 20% of the total amount, and the whole amount goes to human capital and salaries. That's, I think that's where the problem is. If you look at your financial statement in page seven, yeah, it says human capital costs 4.575, technical assessments and operation 1.58. For me, it doesn't tell you anything.
Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you, Honorable Members. I just want to clarify in terms of the board. Yes, AGRIMA does have a separate board apart from the CSR. We have the Chairperson, Pepe Silinga, and the 10 other board members, so making a total board of 11 members. Currently, the board meets a minimum of 4 times a year and has a strategic planning session.
So, that means that your board members are paid for attending meetings?
Yes, they do get a small honorarium. It falls under, I need that clarification, under running costs. Under running costs. But the board members do attend.
But we don't have something like running costs, they just manpower.
Operate.
Okay. The board meets 4 times a year and has a strategic planning session at least once a year. The board is the executive authority and is mandated in terms of our current mandate from the Minister of Public Works to run the agency. Now, we operate under a mandate, a power of delegation from the minister to the board. And the board, since its establishment, AGRIMA has been part and parcel of the CSR. In terms of treasury regulations, we do get our funding from the Department of Public Works and they're not a state public entity. And as such, we cannot have our own bank account. Therefore, the funds from the public works go to the CSR, and therefore, all our employees are actually employees of the CSR. We do have, as was mentioned, 12 staff members currently, myself. We do have a board secretary, a communications practitioner, and technical assessors make up the full staff complement. And as was mentioned, we do make use of the shared services whereby the non-core activities, the non-technical activities, that's finance, HR, admin, etc., are part and parcel of CSR, COSCO, but we do make use of their facilities. We are not a statutory body. We are in the process of legalizing AGRIMA so that we become a fully-fledged public entity so that we have our own finance, HR, and then the cost structure will be more aligned with the actual costs of most organizations. Given that you're a knowledge-based organization, that is why the salary costs are slightly higher than other operating costs, because we need people to think and be able to do the work they do, and that is why it's abnormally higher than normal. In terms of operations, as I mentioned, the finances and everything are part and parcel of the CSR funds, and they're managed by the CSR. I hope that clarifies the issue. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. My name is Mandisa Fatiela. I'm from Public Works. These questions are appreciated, and that's why, as a department, we've put in process. We have a process to should I say, reconstitute legally the agreement board. It's unfortunate that this process obviously has delayed. If we had expedited it, this would not have, it would have clarified things beforehand. But we are trying to get the ACRIMA, SA, say, out of CSIR, because it clouds governance issues. So we're paying particular attention to that. There's a draft bill, and there's also a business case that we're working on as part of the legal reconstitution of the institution. I think we should be able, therefore, once the process is concluded, to come and obviously it's a parliamentary process as well, the draft bill, but we will be able to clarify some of these hidden, it's like they are hidden, but they are there, but you can't see them. So we hope that that process will clarify many things. It has been a major concern for quite a while. Thank you, Chair.
I know what is when you start with the things that you thinking and planning, it's important for you to inform the committee so that Sam and I know. Because if this is like some of these things, if you know about some of these things,
wouldn't be putting these questions. Thank you. I'm just saying it in future each department. When there's a proposal of a bill or what, not that we want to, but just to inform us so that we don't get lost in the lane. Yes, sir. Honorable Member.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to also forward another proposal to the department that they should be able to assist us in terms of providing us with some of the previous terms of reference in terms of appointing this board, so that you also assist us, because we need to be guided to say what is the term of the board. When are they expiring, so that you might not find ourselves running with courts? We don't want to find ourselves as the committee have to go and account into the public that we disbanded the board for its elapse without any reason. I've seen that in the SAPC board, we've ran long processes. But basically, if you can be able to get a clarity on that, so that as we go with that bill, we should be able to, what is the term of the ACRIMA as a board members, so that if others, their time has elapsed, we can start advertising as soon as we can, and we're not firing anybody, but we're running the process as it's supposed to be, because the cloud that they're talking about, maybe it's caused that because some of the other issues are not clarified. What is the role and responsibilities? That's what I said earlier. We must also get a clarity. You know, the role of the CSIR and the ACRIMA, the MOU, the Memorandum of Understanding between the two, we must be able to clarify and get understanding, because some of these issues, you know, we might take it as if they are not clear to us, but in terms of the functionality of the ACRIMA SA and the CSIR, they don't see any problem. So in for us, to order to get clarity and understand, is that you must also get the terms of reference, and so that we all get prepared before the community starts howling us and questioning us in terms of this matter. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. I'll move from this finance because I see we won't get finished. But I'll be asking. But, Chairperson, I just want to emphasize that paying people, whether it's board members, it can't fall under operating costs. I don't understand how does it fall. It should fall really under salaries, that, because that's a salary to the people. Once it falls under operating costs, it's going to just show a high number of money being spent on operating, whereas it is not operating in actual fact. It is a salary, it's not operating. So they must get it there, or rather, it shouldn't fall under running costs. It must just go straight to manpower. Then we were clear where it is. I just want to find out, the CEO was speaking about all the things in housing there, and they are good for housing, actually. The thing he shows us, they're building houses. But I've been saving on housing for the last term, and I don't remember myself seeing AgriMore in the Housing Portfolio Committee. Wouldn't be nice that they present this thing to the housing, because these are things good for housing, and they can actually help their housing. We call it human settlement now. It can help them a lot. I just feel they should do that. And the other one is they are talking about legislation ensuring non-standard. I think they should just take it to the department, because, if they can't do something with the products that are on the market. Like last time we spoke about this thin corrugated iron, and we couldn't also get an answer. How did this product come into the market? Whereas it is not a real quality product, but it's already there in the market. And someone has to stop it. And I don't know who's going to stop it. So those are the things they must just make sure that, it must come out to who brought this product into the market, because it's not a real product at all.
Thank you, Chair. Honorable Masango actually opened the door for me. Look, of course, Chair, we, in the previous meeting, we could not resolve that issue. I am happy to hear that the CEO has alluded to the fact that there will be engagements with other role players to see how best those issues could be resolved. But now, over and above, Chairperson, our responsibility as this committee, as politicians, is to, amongst others, in conducting our oversight, we must do so, and make it a point that we indeed see for ourselves these things as they take place within our communities. Because indeed it is as the Honorable Member said, somehow these not so standard corrugated iron sheets found their way into our housing projects, meant for poor people, the poorest of the poor. Now for those, and I'm saying this merely for the benefit of those who did not attend the previous meeting. Of the 100 houses at the time which were built, they were, I think, at the time less than a year or so old. There was a smaller Yana wind, and about 90 of those houses, roofs blew off. They actually tore off. Now, it's a matter of grave concern. I'm made to understand that even now some of those houses have not been repaired, completely. But the point here is we were told this is a so-called standardized product. Whilst personally I'm not so clear as to whether the variation of this project is still standard. Of course, corrugated iron sheets, as we were told by the CFO, are standard. So we appreciate that, we understand that. I would then propose, Chairperson, that we conduct an oversight visit at one of the sites where we have this tin roof. Those roofs are the equivalent of a coke tin, in terms of their strength. These coke tins, these coke cans. So that is my formal proposal to this meeting. It could be the site or it could be any other site, because this thing is, as I understand, widespread now in the country.
And this is was just happening. And I will not leave now. But I think this is a very good proposal for me. I was going to say, and now I don't believe in this. Look, Salam Tetra. Just oversight, go to one of these people. Go and see this, the material. See what they before. This material before Isebenza, no ma say Isebenza. Now even these houses, see a nabo, but tell about less it is still, and this is the strength of this one. This one is all weather proof. It can stand all weathers and so on. Because I think members, we are sick and tired of this thing. Which we've got these entities which give certificates, which change around your construction, around what. Everybody is just busy. And everybody is just busy and busy with the material building for the poor of the poorest, with the poor of the poorest material. Get the poor of the poorest. You know, I'm thinking of a story of a man who said, you know, Mama Christopher and his son, how is when you die, we say it's because your house is ready in heaven. Say ready. You get there, you must get a key of the house. But when the three people died, the first one got a very nice house with golden handles. The other one got an RDP. The other one got a site and service. But when they were protesting, they said there's a police here in heaven. La, we build you a house in heaven. You must send the material whilst you're alive. So if you send cardboard to heaven, when you get to heaven, you get a house, you have a cardboard. So if we pass inferior material, certificate, everything, and bluff the poor, that's Sianyakela. And in a month or so, I mean, there's this mess, I think we all together we've got a job to do and make all these things right. So I think we've got a duty to get all of us, forget about ourselves, forget about, just think that let's try and get quality things for our people. And also assist the department and the entities, I'm a agent, I'm understanding all that. I think if you can do two or three oversights in one of these things. I've seen last Friday, people came to me, Boya at Dubai. Mom, go. Want to show you how to build a house in four hours or what? No, they've got this thing, I think, my sponge, that they join something. They say you can join it and put the concrete part of it. The house, they told me stories about the house and so on. I mean, those are the things we must find out about them, look at them, and some of them see the stop it, because other people are going to be taken up about those things. So your organization, like your organization, is an organization that must get this information from these people and see, because abanye bazathatheka and start building these houses. And so there's a proposal here. I don't know what you want to say. Can I get other members? There's a proposal by Makam. Yes, Masam.
I don't agree with it, but I think on Wednesday or when next week we're dealing with our own strategic plan. So we will include it on that strategic plan of our own as a committee. I'm not sure, but next week somewhere we're dealing with our own strategic plan.
Yeah, but let's make it.
Well, Chair, I agree. As we're looking to say, we're going to have our own strategic plan in the following week. But I was looking at the week of the 25th to the 6th, somewhere there.
after that last week of August, that maybe we do an on-site visit, because I've been also informed that it happens in there are areas or houses that are being built, and there's a hospital as well that is also, they're implementing the very same material that they are building. I don't know if I'm correct, and if I'm correct, then we can be able to say, looking to that week that you go and do that on-site visit, so that at least we get physical, you know, viewing of those things.
Excuse me, Chair. Now, I happen to be the one who briefed him. Now you see. I think I'm being, to say the least, quoted out of context. No, what I'm saying is there may or may not be, you know, the same materials, you know, being used. I mean, look, if they found their way into our housing projects, there's no guarantee that they may or may not, you know, find their way into some of our other projects. But I was just saying that coincidentally, because remember I said earlier that we could go to that area or any other one for that matter. But then I thought there's a hospital that is also being built right there. So it would be a good thing to, you know, to summer, you know, the Cape Townians would say, to summer go there. Yeah, I mean, yeah, thanks.
I don't know, Funakani, do we have a strategic plan before oversight? Yeah, no, I'm just thinking, we're having a
but Chairperson, are we not out of order, actually?
Yeah, we are.
I think we are.
Yeah. Because you got visitors here, that's something that you can discuss on our own.
Now, I think we're out of order, because what we must just do is to agree on a site visit. And then when we meet, we'll decide which AMA site visit is when and then. We can't discuss our program here. Although, I see the next man lap. We know that mustn't be south besides it's mandate yet. So, but what I want us here to say, to agree on, there's a proposal and a seconder that we go and do a site visit in some of these sites as according to when and how and what, we'll discuss it later, but as this portfolio committee in the presence of the presenters, so that we don't take them by surprise, in the presence of the officials, so the officials now they'll report and they'll correct us in some of the last. We say we want to do this, go and see these places as a trial and so on. Earlier, somebody said, I think it's Honorable Masam, that some of these plans, housing, they should make presentations to them. I think I said last year to housing, good last meeting, we can discuss this in the good last meeting that you discussed in that. But I want this meeting to say, now it must be noted that we've agreed, we've listened to the presentation, and what is that we've agreed about, and what is it that we want from ACRIMO. It's a structure, and we still want a structure and a clarity on, especially in the line of the budget, and so. And that we are going to conduct site visits. We'll see which provinces to two or three provinces, so as far as we can stretch. Because to me, to sit in a strategic meeting for the whole day, not knowing what you are talking about, it's better if we know what you are talking about. That's what I learned from this meeting.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, but I'm not sure if we can pay our visit. Well, just a small question. That who does the inspection in the shops which sell these building materials? You know, I will tell you why Mdula Stilohore Kichojwal. You find the municipality engage a contractor who must now build those houses there, and the contractor goes to this building material shop owner, whoever, and he purchases this material which is a substandard or came in dubiously in the country, and then because the material is so cheap, and the said scrupulous business owner, you know, is able to sign an agreement with this guy through what you call them, the municipality will pay direct, you know. The contractor who must now do the job is able to access this material without paying money, because the money will come later after, you know, the dubious businessman has accessed his money. You know, I'm not sure with that, because, you know, when we were in recess, I happened to do some building at home. Now, I went to one shop, I bought a material. Now, I see the sticker there, it says, from Indonesia. Now, I said, damn, Indonesia and South Africa. I said, okay, perhaps it came in through the right channels. But what if it did not come through the right channel? You know? I'm not sure, perhaps, maybe from a layman point of view, somebody may advise me that who actually is responsible in terms of inspecting these, doing inspection in these shops which sell these things. And that will help us also to cap the municipalities to get involved with such businessmen, or men and women, I'm not sure, maybe men and women. Thank you. Thanks.
Yeah. So, I'm sure you're listening. We're together in the department and all of us. So, are there any more questions, comments on the presentation? This is a process. The energy. What do you feel like?
Maybe I was saying, why can't we get a clarity on the question that Honourable Member just asked? Maybe the agreement can be always, or can provide a direction to say, who do that inspection of those materials that are in the shops, if they can be able to answer that question. And if they can't as well, we must also look or have our research to look into that. Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. We do not carry out inspections at hardware stores or material suppliers. There is no body that currently regulates material suppliers, as far as I'm aware. And maybe it's an issue that it's obviously a gap that needs to be filled up. I think I agree that it should not be the case.
but currently I'm not aware of any institution that carries out inspections in hardware stores. As far as presenting to the Housing Portfolio Committee, I welcome that particular suggestion, if invited to do so. And I also welcome the oversight, the proposed oversight, if I can respond. Our organogram, as I mentioned, we are a very small institution of 12 people and quite a simple organogram with one CEO, one board secretary, one communications practitioner, three technical assessor group leaders, and the rest of the staff members to make a total of 12 technical assessors. So it's quite a very small small organization. I believe and the costs that we incur are just the remuneration which are paid to the 12 individual members that we do have. Thank you very much.
With a high income.
I'm proposing closure.
Maybe, Chair, before we close, I think we have dealt and finished the issue of Fourth Ackerman SA. But I'm looking in terms of our portfolio committee program. But if you can just look and amend certain changes here.
Thank you.